Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We should, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
That's where we, shut,
cram
you,
it!
Shut up right now!
For
you
God's
shut,
sake!
I swear to God, I will go over the...
You!
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there is Rex Hupke. You know, a year ago, we opened the podcast with long pauses and F-bombs.
Yeah, which it was kind of like the opposite of fireworks.
Yeah, because this time a year ago, last week, we closed it by saying like, all right, well, time will tell. We'll see you next week.
And we did.
And we did. And we dried our tears and we... drank some liquor.
And it's given us something to talk about every week since. So
and it's
kept
us employed since. And we thank you for that.
Sorry, country, but at least we have...
It's working out for us.
Yeah, we've got stuff to swear about.
Coming up, Milhouse. So there's that. But yes, a year ago this week, we were in... I gave myself a day to mourn, is what I did. I said, get it out of your system. Be pissed off. And then you got some shit to do.
Yeah. I felt personally responsible to some degree, which I know is bizarre. And
tell
also
me more.
Also sounds very self-aggrandizing, which it really wasn't.
I hope you know that you were not voting on behalf of everyone.
Yeah. Oops.
You are not the representative.
But no, I just – it was something where I had spent more than a year – writing about this stuff, more than a year of trying in this podcast, in my columns, and many other, every format I could get into, to speak the truth and to warn people about what was going to happen. And frankly, never particularly advocating for Hillary, but just simply warning against this thing.
Right.
And then it happened, and I was like, what, okay, is there something more I could have done? And I know that's really dumb, but it got very, for some reason, for like a day, I got very inward looking, and I felt like I'd been hit by a truck.
I was like, I thought that thought, like, should I have done a little more?
So, yeah, but.
Particularly in the beginning, because I will be the first to admit I didn't take his ass seriously.
Yeah, right.
I said on the air, he's not going to make it to the first debate.
Yep.
Forget it. This is ridiculous. And then I was like, okay, fine. That was a spectacle, but you know what? He's not going to make it to the primary. And then I sat in the Twin Cities airport with my good friend and colleague watching the returns that night going, yeah, I would love another Pinot Grigio.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it's it was a stunning, unbelievable night.
Fast forward.
Right.
To this week.
Still a stunning, unbelievable night. Just a different one.
In a different way.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see. I don't think I've seen that much hope on Twitter since the first time people really jumped in and said, seriously, call your representatives. We got to jump on healthcare right now.
Mm-hmm.
That was,
yeah.
I think, the first time we saw big hope after the inauguration.
Right.
And I saw that a little bit last night.
Yes, with a big election night.
Yeah. Now, and I would like to pause and say, I stopped by my local taqueria, and I was sitting there waiting for my to-go order, and there was a date happening near me,
mm-hmm.
and there was a guy who said, so did you vote today? This is in Illinois, by the way.
Right.
And she was like, no, I didn't. He was like, I didn't either, but I did so. Didn't as a conscious choice. And I was like,
Tap, 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 tap.
Yeah, I sat there going like, should I tell him that Illinois wasn't part of that?
Yeah.
Should I tell him or should I just let this keep going? So I let it keep going.
That's brilliant. But the absolute best thing that happened yesterday prior to the voting results coming in was definitely Donald Trump Jr. twice tweeting, don't forget to vote tomorrow. And I'm like, and everybody, and like literally
Hello.
The entire internet was making fun of him and he still wasn't changing it.
And
you're just like, what
you're
the
like,
hell?
Bro,
you're like,
Sif.
But you're like, that is such a perfect encapsulation of this stupid, ridiculous group of people. I mean, like, they don't actually care about anything. They
or
don't
pay attention to anything.
Right, there's no details.
I can't be bothered. My butler didn't tell me what day it is.
Oh, it's not tomorrow? Oopsie. I mean, you're like, what? Come on, man. Like, how do you not know what...
Like, we've all done some dumb shit and, like, scheduled a tweet.
Sure.
You know, I did one time that, like, accidentally saved as a duplicate.
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, in my scheduling tool, and it tweeted on time like it was supposed to, and then it... And then, like, 12 hours later, it was like, in the next hour, this thing is happening. And a bunch of people were like, hey, dumbass, that was hours ago. I was like, it's clearly an accident. It is identical to the other tweet.
Yeah,
like, my bad. And I immediately said, hey, sorry, you know, that was a scheduling technical glitch. Not my stupidity.
Right. And this was not, that was not.
This was not that.
Was not commenting on an election that was going to have a significant impact on your father, the president. and he did it twice.
Also twice. So actually, my example has nothing to do with what you just said.
You are off the hook. He, however, is very dumb.
I think it was dumb.
What was it? I think it was Colbert said something like, "We learned that Eric is actually the smart one." Which I thought was a great line. So that was glorious to begin with. But then, it was good to see. I think it felt like, for a lot of people, the first time that sanity has kind of prevailed. Not just because Democrats won specifically, but because...
And socialists.
Right. And a social... Right. And...
Many socialists.
Yeah. I mean, but because you had... In Virginia, it was a Democrat who won over a Republican who was being horrible. I mean, white nationalist, anti-immigrant, just really trying to be like a mini Trump.
And you'd like to think, well, this is a slam dunk of a win. However, comma, this is the modern world that we live in this country, in which it is possible that that person could.
Right. Yeah, of course. And that was everybody's big concern. It's like, oh, my God, is it? Now, I don't, you know, and I think generally most people are being careful to not be like, OK, well, this is it. We got it in the bag for 2018. This is not I don't think this is necessarily a bellwether of anything.
No, I think people know better now.
I think there was
that kind of gloating right before the election.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
They were like, oh, shit, the worst case thing has happened.
Yeah. But it's, nonetheless, big deal. And where it really demonstrated itself, and I think what's making a lot of Republicans, especially more moderate Republicans, get the shivers right now was the kind of up and down the ballot wins. I mean, in Virginia, you got just a huge number of Democrats taking over state legislative seats. My favorite was the trans candidate who beat the old dude who had been in that spot, that legislative spot, for years, who had advocated
specifically
for
was like
an avowed homophobe and specifically fought for the trans bathroom bill and all this stuff, and a trans woman.
Enter trans woman, yes. Who beat him at the polls.
Yeah, right, which is just brilliant. I just love that. I mean, good. And I felt like, I tweeted this a little bit ago, I felt like last night was, because there was a woman in New Jersey who ran after her representative made some snide comments about the Women's March.
Mm-hmm.
And that got her so mad, she decided to run against him, and she won. And so I felt like last night was not so much an election as just like an extended sick burn against a bunch of people.
Anybody need some aloe for them sick burns?
Exactly. It's like, oh, that had to hurt.
Yeah. Don't underestimate particularly a woman that's like, oh, motherfucker, I would get you.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally. And I look, I think, and that was another thing I saw in the polling, too, was that the turnout among women was very high, and the enthusiasm, you know, from college educated women in particular, but then on down the line, was very high. And so, and also black voters, big turnout, all of which was kind of unusual for a relatively dinky midterm kind of election.
And it wasn't done in a cutesy, let's all wear pantsuits to the polls. It was like, no, I need you to get your ass out there and you need to vote, or you need to run, or you need to both.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like, dress in pantsuits to represent. That's so cute. And then we're going to get a pumpkin spice latte and wear our Ugg boots. It's going to be great. Like, none of that happened. It was like, get there and vote.
Yeah.
And it was like, don't screw around. Don't be cute. Organize. Get it done.
Yeah.
And that's really been the prevailing vibe, which is excellent to see. It's uphill. There's still a long way to go.
Yeah, this is tiny. And
such a long way to go.
But
this is a good...
And it also gives, like I said, it puts a little bit of fear in people's hearts. And also, there was a
Wait, are you talking about people without hearts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fear in people's places where they used to
little
have hearts.
Little raisins where the hearts were supposed to be.
There's also some reporting that Trump is
extremely mad.
Palpably upset was what I heard. and worried that if this might mean, you know, something bigger to come.
Wait. Palpably upset Trump. Does that mean he's been calm?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Is this like chill Zen Trump we've seen so far? Because
angry
I'm
Trump.
Out.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm looking for a Canadian spouse of any type immediately if that's what we're up against right now.
But, you know, it's good because this can have this will impact the tax reform that the Republicans are trying to work on, because after seeing this, if they think they're going to pull off a massive tax overhaul that benefits only the rich and actually screws people in the middle class in any way, shape, or form, forget it. So they're going to be this is a warning, and it strikes fear into legislators who will hopefully
should.
Yeah.
I don't know
right. I mean, it may not absolutely.
For a group that has been so ham-fisted and so brazen in their oppression and aggravated dipshittery.
Right.
I don't. That's
nice.
A new law I'm trying to get on the books. In which one can get a citizen's arrest for aggravated dipshittery. You and I would probably just be serving life sentences for aggravated dipshittery.
I definitely would. Yeah.
But nonetheless, that should be a real thing. For as brazen and whatnot as that group has been, it's hard to say, oh, well, maybe we should, you know, kind of do this inch by inch or work more in the middle. Let's reach across the aisle. I don't see that group being that thoughtful about it.
Right. Yeah. And no, I agree. But they're also in a position where they don't have a whole lot of wiggle room in terms of votes.
And so, I love that term because it only makes me think of people like
wiggle. Having a room to
having
go
a little
wiggle,
like especially a butt wiggle.
Yeah, like dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, our dog has a massive butt wiggle. It's hilarious.
I mean, the whole body tail wag.
Yeah, just that's like dung, 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 dung.
So imagine all GOP leaders doing that.
Yeah.
No.
Okay,
nope.
I actually don't want to
see. No. Made it weird. It weird.
Now my dreams are haunted.
All right. So I also would like to discuss, there was a lot of criticism of Hillary in the last few weeks of just people were like, even people who really loved her were going like, okay, you need to chill now.
Mm-hmm.
Go away and do other things. However, she's doing something that I think is kind of interesting. So Teen Vogue, pretty woke. Mm-hmm. Like, Teen Vogue has been doing some work.
Yeah, some fine journalism. And they just they did away with a print version all of a sudden for some reason, which was odd because it was really – and I don't know how much that matters to them. I mean, a lot of their stuff is – I mean, all of their stuff is online, of course. But you know, they've done some – they've really been making a significant name for themselves outside of whatever Teen Vogue's general name is. But they've been doing a lot of really good political stuff and interesting things.
So. Yeah, and so they have Hillary is the guest editor for the December issue, which I think is going to be really interesting. And, you know, I have accused her of many things and whatever. Not that I am a Trump supporter. I'm just looking at people with a critical eye.
Right.
I would look at my own relatives. Actually, I'd look at a more critical eye with them. But you know what I'm saying? Don't everyone jump to like, oh, she's hate. No, everybody chill. I look at all candidates critically. However, I did really like what she had to say about it. She said that Teen Vogue takes teen girls seriously and understands that style and substance are not mutually exclusive.
That's good.
That's excellent.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah, they've had some really excellent essays. I mean, there's even some pretty heavy-hitting op-ed writers that are getting or trying to get Teen Vogue bylines right now because they're really not pulling any punches. They really haven't been for the last year or so, year plus. They've really been like, screw it, let's go, let's do this. And they've tackled some really, I thought, very thoughtful and great issues.
I totally agree. Yeah,
so this will be interesting.
It will be.
Like, what does that mean to be a guest editor? I mean, does that mean...
I don't know how much sway...
What theme do you want?
Right.
You know, what does that mean? It's like, we're going to give you six pieces and you get to pick the one that's going to be the cover.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
I hope she's careful with her emails while she's here.
Oh, burn. Right. So who knows what that will look like. But that's kind of interesting, the idea of having a guest editor there, because I think that opens up for a lot of stuff. And I think for their core readership of young women, and it's not just teen girls anymore, it's certainly women of many ages and some men. I think that's you know, I think that's interesting. And I think that's an interesting step if you had a bunch of, you know, very prominent women acting one at a time as guest editors of this really woke-ass publication. I think that's pretty great.
Yeah.
Like, my next up, can we get Gloria Steinem to do that? Because that'd be kind of awesome.
Yeah, that would be.
Right. Can we get, you know, all these voices.
Perhaps just an Amy Guth? Huh?
I mean, I would not say no to that.
If available.
I don't think anyone's ever heard of me outside of our dozen listeners. That's right. I just upgraded it to a dozen.
Boom. Woo. Balloon drop.
That's right.
The dozo.
The dozo. That's awesome. Our listeners are going to call themselves the dozos.
Yes.
Not quite as cool as Insane Clown Posse's fans,
but
nonetheless.
Close. Very close. No, I agree with you. I think it's a really great thing. And you know, I mean, one of the things with Clinton that is such a shame is that because of all the baggage and because of the divisions within the Democratic Party and the Bernie would have won, blah, blah, group and all that sort of stuff, you know, the fact that she was the first female presidential candidate for a major political party in this country is really completely lost. Not to mention, you know, that she was Secretary of State, that she was first, I mean, yeah. And a senator. And I mean, like,
well, I don't think it'll be lost for good. I think
it's lost
for now,
right,
because
we're
busy
though.
With the tire fire,
right,
out front in the yard.
Yeah. So, and not for nothing either, the fact that, I mean, I was very critical of her in a lot of different ways, you know, during the campaign and even after to some degree. But the one thing she did very well, and I remember specifically the one really, like, good job Hillary column that I wrote during all of this was to say it was her addressing the threat that Donald Trump posed,
mm-hmm,
and the alt-right and all of this. And she did, I thought, a brilliant job of that. And I mean, she was right about everything. I mean, and that's another thing that I think as time goes on will be remembered, is that it's like she warned us, you know, she was not over-exaggerating what was going on here. And she was not a perfect candidate in her own right, but she sure as hell knew what the other guy was all about. So I don't know. I just think, I mean, she's so, it's just, I don't know, I'll never fully understand people's hang up with her, because, you know.
Vaginas is the hang up.
Yeah, but it's more than that. I mean, there's just, like.
I mean, that's the main hang up. The second hang up is.
Powerful vagina, I think.
Powerful vagina.
Right? Yeah.
Very threatening to people, particularly women who feel their own vaginas are not as powerful. So then I think another equal issue is, I mean, we saw this with, we saw this happen in Brazil with Rousseff, that it was really like, yeah, you're speaking some language that's making people feel some feelings, but you're really not connecting to some realities, because nobody believes you've ever struggled. Uh-huh. Nobody believes you. You know, like when she was talking about health insurance and told a woman at a town hall to keep shopping. Mm-hmm. Like, well, let's be real. You're going to pick the policy that costs you the least,
mm-hmm,
you know? So it was like, that just sounded, you know, it was very kind of elitist, out of touch with,
yeah,
reality. And I think we saw that, I mean, not to like make this about international politics, but, you know, we saw there were many problems in Brazil, but that was an issue with Rousseff, I think, too, that like not connecting to, in the right way to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But the thing with, I think, you know, people continue to go, I don't understand why this certain age group of women didn't have Hillary's back, particularly women her own age. I'll tell you exactly what it is. It is the fact that she made the baking cookies comment, the fact that she resisted having to take the last name Clinton because she said, I've done all this work as Rodham. Why would I want to give it up and get a new last name? Totally valid argument. I totally agree with her on that. And so there's a group of women who kind of had those decisions to make kind of for the first time,
mm-hmm,
that perhaps didn't make them because they were much harder to make. Like now, not taking your spouse's last name is still a little confusing to people.
Yeah.
Like right now in 2017,
oh, yeah, yeah,
you know? So imagine in the 70s, like when that was still a little bit novel, much harder to do. So there's plenty of women who didn't, for whatever reason, whether they wanted to or not, just didn't make that choice, who chose to, you know, maybe downturn a career and raise kids or, you know, take time out or whatever,
right,
the,
yeah,
thing is, made some of those choices that so often fall upon women and not men to make. Mm-hmm. And I think because she didn't have to make them, that, mm-hmm, was really threatening to a lot of women.
Yeah.
And they then, I mean, the way they summarized that was, she seems like a bitch. You know what I mean? It was like, but it was really what she represented. It was like she made all these choices that I, woman of her age, perhaps struggled with and didn't make, or didn't have the guts to make, or wanted to make and it didn't occur to me, or I would have done, you know. I think there's so much of that that really prevented some women. I think. And I'm thinking of a particular conversation that I had with a woman who is just a couple of years younger than her, who really couldn't even entertain this idea. She's like, but my life's fine. She can't say my... I was like, but you're admitting... I mean, you're saying exactly my... You're proving my point.
Right.
I'm not saying your life isn't fine, but there's a part of you that resents that she did some shit that you didn't do and maybe wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. My life is fine. It turned out fine no matter what. Yet, that's my point. That is my point, that you chose differently, and there's a party that wonders, and therefore she is, what a bitch, who does she think she is?
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, I kept hearing so full of herself, and that may be. The counter I would argue on that one is a friend and colleague always tells a story about going home after school and saying that someone called her full of herself, and her mom said, why would you want to be empty of yourself? And I think that's so great. What a great thing.
Yeah.
Like, what a brilliant thing to say to a child, especially a little girl.
Yeah, really.
Who's going to hear her whole life be empty of yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think she represented being full of yourself in that way.
Yeah.
And I think that was really threatening.
Yeah. She refused to, you know, stand down, to be quiet, to, you know,
right,
all that sort of thing.
Right.
So, yeah.
And she did so. I mean, she had great privilege, right? She had a lot of money. There's money can make people shut up around you.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard. I don't know. I've never experienced this phenomenon for myself.
Technically,
I've witnessed it happen to others. I aspire maybe to try it one day. No, I don't really.
She also did Benghazi and murdered a bunch of people. So,
well,
you know,
there's that. But even like leading up to that, even before that, she infuriated. I think she lost women at the I'm not going to stay at home and bake cookies comment.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
in the 90s. She pissed women off her own age group mm-hmm. then.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the men are just, oh my God, they're fanatical. I mean, I can't tell you how many. I mentioned her in a column a few days ago, and I can't tell you how many emails I get from men who state without the slightest question how guilty she is of a multitude of different crimes, and there is absolutely no shaking that. It's not even worth. They are convinced she has committed so many awful crimes. It's unbelievable. The entire system is rigged in her favor. I mean, it's preposterous, and it's one of those weird, you know, long. It's baked in. It's so
yeah,
baked in
yeah.
that you can't break it. You just can't. There's nothing you can do to break it.
And even I think weirder, there is. I heard this all the time, particularly leading up to the election. I heard a lot of. I remember the kind of not the first time I heard it, but one of the most startling. There was a guy, someone that I know personally. There is no chance he is listening, so I'm not worried about saying this. Said. She's just so goddamn ugly. She and Nancy Pelosi are just gross. And Michelle Obama, they're the ugliest women I've ever seen. How could you, why put them anywhere? And I was like, do you think Trump is good looking, sir?
Right.
Because
he looks.
You well. Find me a good looking white guy in the GOP, like, let's.
Yeah.
Blah, who.
And also.
What? Also, who gives a shit?
Right. When is that a, you know, I mean, you can. Yeah, that's crazy.
But yet,
yeah.
The same person and,
yeah.
and people of the same mind will say things like, bullshit, it's not about being a woman. Like, really? Because you take her looks into consideration.
Right, exactly.
So,
yeah.
Anyway. But perhaps the tide, and I'm going to say the tide is turning, but we certainly felt some hope in the air yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
In some elections, I think people were like, oh, we actually have to give a damn and go out and organize and do something if we don't want the neo-Nazis to take over.
Yeah, we have to vote.
Interesting idea. Let's try that.
Yeah.
So that occurred, and that was very positive. For everyone except for the date I heard it happening at the taqueria.
Ah, yes.
In which he thought he was being a conscientious objector by not knowing when the shit Illinois votes.
Yeah.
Good job, bro.
Woo!
At one point, the woman who, it was like fairly empty, and the woman behind the counter at one point was looking at me, and we were looking at him. We were both like, kind of shrugging, like, let's let him just weave his lies and see what happens.
I chose not to vote in our election that we don't have today.
Right.
Conscious choice, man.
And, I mean, he thought the gubernatorial race was the gubernatorial election was yesterday, and I was
That's
like...
That's amazing.
You have a year on
to,
that
to
one.
Suggest
You've
you're,
got some time.
to suggest that you're conscientiously objecting
to some
something
shit that ain't happening.
That you don't even know is going on. You're unconsciously objecting or something. That's amazing.
I'm a conscientious objector to my millions of dollars.
Yes. Exactly.
I have it. I'm just choosing not to accept it. Like, you don't... What are you doing, sir?
I'm not taking on my role as a man with superpowers because I choose not to.
I was like, this might be peak mansplain right now.
Yeah, that's bad.
Because he was lecturing her about the importance of knowing where you stand, even if it's to make the decision to be a conscientious objector.
Nice.
And I was like, I mean, Rex, I need an Oscar for the acting job that I did. I should get an award for not sliding two tables over and going... Well, actually, conscientious objectors really more in regards to military service when we're talking about the draft. Further, there was no election in Illinois yesterday, so technically you are not objecting to anything. And then turning to her and saying, you should go while you still can.
And you have guacamole on your shirt.
Also cilantro in your teeth, bro. Madam, you should leave. Do not have sex with this man no matter what happens.
Yes, exactly. You could do so much better than this.
He is, you are way out of his league. You should go. You should go now. So, yeah, that was happening.
Dipshittery.
Aggravated dipshittery.
Yeah, big time.
Is what was happening. So, yeah.
Speaking of mansplaining.
Oh, I thought you say speaking of dipshittery.
Yeah, speaking of the same thing.
Yeah.
Twitter.
Explain something to me.
What did you think about Twitter expanding its character
count?
So that, it will really enhance the ability for men to mansplain things to women.
I know.
Now.
They're going to get the well actually in there.
Yeah, because, I mean, just the actually itself was already eating up, what, A-C-T-U-A-O?
Many.
Like 8 or 9 characters, and yeah. Now you've got plenty of room to blather on after.
So I've only used it once of the expanded character count. There is a Twitter account. There's a couple of Twitter accounts I follow just because they don't tweet that often, but when they do, I kind of forget they exist, and when they tweet, it makes me laugh. And there's one, it's a birds rights activist, and it just tweets bird stuff. And yesterday it tweeted the word bird in all caps and filled up all the characters, and I just retweeted that. No one really caught on to what I was doing. I just, without comment, just retweeted bird, 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 bird. One person replied and said, is the word?
Yeah.
Like, okay, good enough, good enough.
Yeah, I did a LOL, LOL, LOL over and over again to one of Trump's tweets about, like, it was his explanation. He was his first tweet once that occurred, the great expansion of tweets occurred, did, in fact, I think it was 215 characters that he used to try to explain his way out of Ed Gillespie, the Republican in Virginia, losing, who he had endorsed heavily and tweeted about many times and blah, 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 and stuff, saying he did not embrace me enough, fully enough.
Hey-o.
To. I was like, I was like, wow. I mean, this is upper level spin there. I mean, I'm like, what are you talking about?
He didn't embrace me.
Yeah,
enough.
He said he worked hard, but he didn't embrace Trump enough to. Blah blah blah, and I'm like, whoa, dude. I mean,
whoa.
So you picked the wrong horse.
He didn't kiss my ass enough.
Right, you picked the wrong horse again, as he did in Alabama, and you're finding a way. But another thing about that though, which is interesting, I'm kind of pivoting.
Dumb idiot.
Yeah, I'm pivoting off the Twitter thing, but I mean, so the thing that Republicans can take away from last night is going all in on Trump doesn't necessarily look like it's going to have the best outcome for you. But B, if you do go all in with him, he's going to throw your ass under the bus, because that's what he did. I mean, the Ed Gillespie guy, he was supporting fully. He did robocalls for him the whole nine yards. And he said he worked hard, but he didn't embrace me enough. So not my fault.
He didn't come kiss the ring.
Right. He's like, not my fault. He's not as perfect as me. Otherwise, he would have totally won, is basically what he's saying. And, you know, all these Republicans
must... I've grown tired of you.
Yeah, but at what point do they wake up and realize it's like, man, you're on a damn sinking ship. Like, what are you doing? I honestly don't understand, because there's a lot of Republicans... I do not have a, like, baseline dislike of all Republicans or conservatives by any stretch of the imagination. I think there's a lot of smart, reasonable people out there who are, you know, politicians. And I think that they are just, not all of them, some of them are complete doinks, but a lot of them are getting sucked into this sort of like cult of personality thing. And without, and it's blinding them to the fact that, you know, you're signing a, it's like your career's death warrant is what you're saying.
Well,
you're,
I mean, look, I think the thing that we overlook about politics is that it involves politicking.
Right.
It's not just like, it's not the straightforward, let us attend session and vote on some stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to make deals. That's
right.
What is involved.
Yeah,
you have to.
Exactly.
It is really about making relationships and making deals, sponsoring people's stuff, making like, hey, I will help you and support you on this bill, but you got to help me do this. That's a part of it. That's what
sure,
you sign
yeah.
up for. That's not
how it's supposed to
that's
work.
That's not yeah. sleazy. That's not back. I mean, that's what happens. It's what it is.
Yeah.
And you can do that in a really straightforward, law-abiding way, or you can invite some Russians. Choice is yours, really, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So. That part doesn't bother me because you do. I mean, it's the same in any corporate structure, right? If your mm-hmm. boss is an asshole and is like, here's what we're doing, you got to kind of play along.
Right.
So I understand that part a little bit, but it's a little bit different when we're talking about elected officials. You do kind of have to like not exactly set the boss's car on fire at their first sign of being an asshole. You do have to stand up for them, and people that rise within an organization generally are the people that can push back in a thoughtful and productive way.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of elected officials, I think you got to do a tiny bit of that, but you've also, yes, it is incumbent on you to represent the people you were elected to represent.
Yeah.
And you have to do that over the in my mind, you make those deals transparently and honestly and whatever. You negotiate things with other lawmakers in order to represent the people who put you there,
mm-hmm.
not to kiss the boss's ass.
Right.
And I think that's where the mix-up is.
Mm-hmm.
That's like you're relenting and compromising your principles to kiss the boss's ass and make a screaming toddler happy as opposed to people who put
right.
you there.
Yeah,
and in my mind, it's like compromise can be about diplomacy or it can be about being spineless.
Yeah.
And I suggest they make it about diplomacy mm-hmm. because that's part of politics, not the being spineless part, and compromising
yeah.
like your principles.
Right. Yeah. They're basically, you're right, they're serving him.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid of him. And they're afraid he's going to unleash a tweet storm and get a bunch of his nutter followers angry at them. But it's just, again,
I had a dream that he tweeted about me.
Oh, dear.
But it was like I was on Michigan Avenue, and this was the – this is a terrible future in which tweets were constantly on the outside of buildings like a ticker scroll.
There was a show like that. Not too – go ahead. Anyway. Sorry.
It's nowhere I want to visit.
Yeah.
Because it was like – everybody was almost in another dimension, so I could see my own Twitter feed on every building. You looking at the same building would see your own Twitter feed.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
But there was like at the top of every building, there was sort of like the trending stuff and mm-hmm. trending tweets and top tweets. But he sent a tweet that was like a interactive video tweet to me calling me out for something I said on the air. And I was like, and everybody stopped on Michigan Avenue and looked at me like, that's her. And I went, you don't scare me, sir. I just like looked up at Twitter and I was like looking up. It was like on the real estate building across from the Tribune. And I was just like, you don't scare me. And I just like kept saying that to him.
Oh, my God.
And he was accusing me of something that was totally baseless. Like he was accusing me of being involved in something that happened in Idaho. And I was like, I've actually never set foot in Idaho. I know one person from Idaho. And she used to work here. That's all I know. Like, that's it. And I know someone who got a job at a hotel chain and moved to Idaho. That's literally all I know about Idaho. And he was like, that's not true. You were there and I can prove it. I've got video. And I was like, I am not afraid of you, sir. Come at me. And I finally said, come at me, bro, to the president at the building.
I don't know what you had for dinner that night, but it must have been spicy.
It's always spicy.
That's
I believe I would do that if he accused me of taking part in something in Idaho. Because, look.
You'd say, come at me, bro.
I would say, come at me, bro. And I would act accordingly because I think in an administration this corrupt, your best bet is to hide in plain sight.
Yeah.
You are safer standing with a million people around you than you are, like, being afraid and hiding in your home.
True.
Because that's where they're going to come take you out. Right?
I just want you to know I don't think the president's going to come get you. Just FYI.
As a precaution, I put tinfoil on my windows, Hupke. I'm just letting you know.
It was just a dream, Guth. It's okay.
It was just a dream. I'm just saying, for the record, I would stand on Michigan Avenue and hold my ground and say,
yes,
zip it to the president.
If you were living in a bizarro future world where tweets are displayed on buildings, that is what you would do.
I would be like, nope.
Good.
Hashtag no bro.
You have staked out your... I just want the world to know,
this is
for
like,
the record.
Yeah, like, you know, you candidates will like write position papers,
yes,
on everything.
Exactly.
My position on being called out by the president is I would be like, nope.
In the event
I'm
that I'm
called
walking
out,
on Michigan Avenue and there are tweets
or any other avenue,
buildings,
and I'm called out by the president, my official answer is nope.
Nope.
I am not afraid of you, sir.
Come
actually,
me,
I might
bro.
Even omit this, sir.
Ah, there you go. Tough. Tough but fair.
A subtle cue. I don't recognize your authority. That's what I would do.
There's a great... have you ever watched Black Mirror?
Oh, man. Black Mirror is awesome.
Yeah. So there's, you know, the episode where they have the where people vote each other up or down depending on their interaction. So it's like I come up
is
to
is it the bicycle episode?
Mm.
Where they're like all, it's like a prison where everyone's on like a
no. This
stationary
is
bike?
Yeah. No. Different one.
I don't remember this.
Okay. So basically, I'll just do the quick thing because it kind of ties in with what you just, the way you were describing your dream sort of with everything on display. So everybody... You go up to someone, you know, you go up to your friend as you're leaving the house. You're like, hey, how's it going? You know, Margie. And they're like, hey, how's it going, Fred? And whatever. And then, you know, you had a nice exchange. So, you know, Margie.
You get a point.
Gets a point to Fred, and Fred gives a point to Margie. Ding, ding. And, you know, so, and what it is like, as you're upvoted, and then if you have a bad interaction, like you yell at the barista or something, the barista votes you down, or the people around you are all like giving
you.
If
you scream at the president
right,
from
yeah.
the side of a building.
Yeah. So you get negative stuff. And so, but the, so. How your level that you are at in terms of positive votes determines like what you're able to do. Like you can get in the faster line.
Oh, I do remember this one. Yeah.
And
okay.
So it's what's fascinating about it, what I loved about that though was how, and actually most of those Black Mirror shows was that it's crazy, but it's also not that far fetched.
Right. It's like a dystopian future, but it's not super future. It's like tomorrow, day after tomorrow.
Right.
Not like way far away.
Yeah. I mean, I could totally see a social media app coming out where everybody.
There was one for a while that was kind of like that.
Was there? Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. There was one briefly.
But then that becomes like, you know, like if you want a certain apartment, you have to be a certain level to qualify
right.
for, you know, all
right.
this kind of stuff. And if you don't, if you're just in the garbage in terms of your points or whatever, you are like a bum and nobody cares about you. And so
right.
anyway, it's pretty well.
That was a good show.
Yeah. I don't know if there's going to be more of this. They're really good. It's on Netflix. It's
the
awesome.
First episode, I watched them in order. And the very first one was the one about the British Prime Minister.
Oh, yeah.
And I sat down, like I poured a glass of water and I was starting the show and I'm just kind of like looking over my shoulder during the credits. And like that opening sequence, they wake up the Prime Minister like, this is what's happened. This kidnapping has occurred and these are the conditions of the ransom. I sat down and I was just like, what? And I realized at the end of the episode, I was still holding my water glass, still holding the pitcher, and I still had my mouth open because I was just like, what just happened?
It was wild. Yeah.
Whoa. And that poor actor, like, oh you really got to do that. Ooh.
Yeah,
or you got to, you know, pretend to be doing that. But
there were some unpleasant
even
moments.
The acting it out would be bad.
Right.
If you don't know what we're talking about, I really
just
recommend
it. Yeah.
It is earmuffs and eye muffs. It is not family viewing.
No, not at all.
No. It is.
It's really good, though. It's a British show.
Beautifully done.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's striking. Each one was like a little movie, really. You know?
Yeah, they're not related.
No.
Each episode, you can watch
totally
them out of
different.
Order. Doesn't
matter.
And then I think it was the second or third episode was that one I was thinking of with the bikes, where it's like
I
basically
remember
that. Like young people prison, and you wake up and all you have to do is get on a stationary bike, and you're like going. You have a video game in front of you, and you're like getting points to do stuff and you can cash them in on things, and the best thing you can do is save your points and go on a show kind of like American Idol,
right? And that might help you get out,
and then that can help you get out, but they might enslave you to a porn career.
Yeah,
you don't know. So it's a fascinating show. It's so good.
Yeah, so check that out. Hey, that's been
so that's a thing.
That's been the TV segment of Goof and Hupke on Politics. Tune in next week when we'll talk about
who knows what we're going to talk about. Who knows? I'll be shouting at the side of a building thinking Trump's yelling at me by then. Whatever. You know what? Sometimes I say things on the show that I realize that if some Yahoo wanted to cut out just that one sentence out of context, to make a case against me, that would be the sentence. Like what I just said, mm-hmm. like tune in next week when I'm yelling at the side of a building, they're like, see, proving she's yeah. crazy. yeah. Or when like I have a bad habit of doing things like when we say a thing, when we like are naming a person, I'll say a line of dialogue as if I am that person. Mm-hmm. We both kind of do that. Yeah. And I've tried to not do that because I feel like one day that's going to backfire. Like out of context, people will have this line of me saying something about like my own people,
right?
You know, saying something about Jews and they're yeah. like, see, she's a Jew hater. Like, no, idiot. Like no, that's not.
That horse has left the barn, man. I mean, we've done, how many of these have we done? We've done like
we didn't celebrate our year anniversary.
Yeah, we've done a ton of these and there's enough stuff out there to hang both of us about 8 million times over. So I'm really not at this point, if that's our concern, we gotta have to say forget that, I'm afraid.
We could preempt our opposition and just make a supercut of us saying out of context
exactly.
things.
Exactly. we could turn that 60 shows into like 20 just big time problematic ones.
Okay, that would actually be kind of funny if we made a supercut of like of us just saying F-bombs.
Yes, just
a year of the F-bomb. And it's just us and that's the only thing we say in all that, because we've said it in many ways. We've been like, because fuck that. We've been like, fuck. We've yelled. That would be funny.
That could be a great way to promote the podcast, frankly, because that could go viral.
It's our free gift to you for subscribing.
Yes.
It's a supercut of just 40 minutes of us screaming.
Previously unknown podcasters hit the big time with extended profanity reel.
Oh my God, we have to make this right away. You download episodes 1 through 30. I will get 30 through 60, 31 through 60, and we're going to cut out all the examples of. Maybe we could do two. We could do one of just all F-bombs and then a second one that is just really creative swears.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks ago when you said fuck blender.
Blender
fuck or whatever. Yeah. Both bad.
Important. Both bad, but important.
Very
to get
important
the other,
distinction. Yes. Yeah. Blender fuck. I think I said goat fuck once.
Yeah, oh, there's been a lot.
Like we could then have all the creative swears. That's like our second free gift to listeners.
And we could lay some kind of like, you know, track underneath it to make it
inspirational music.
Or even make it like a kind of like a.
We could auto-tune it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Sort of auto-tune it and stuff.
Put fantastic. A little track under it.
Yeah.
Not like that.
Blender fuck. Blender fuck. Fuck fuck.
Oh my God. We've lost our minds, dozen of listeners, is what has occurred.
This show's going to blow up, man. I'm telling you. That is the.
Any
is
minute.
That is the ticket.
Right blinding there. Fame is heading our way. Any minute.
Swearing our way to the top.
Hey, so we're going to do some live radio, speaking of swearing, which is what we're not going to do.
Whoop.
On Friday, we are going to be doing some live radio. We're in for John Williams 1 to 3. You can listen live at WGNradio.com or on the WGN app or on iHeartRadio. Or if you own a radio, which I do not, you can just tune in that way, the old-fashioned way.
Yep. That thingy in your car, maybe.
Yeah.
Might still do a radio thing.
You know, I've been thinking of, we need a new name for, it used to be the driveway moment. Like, you're doing some kick-ass radio. If you,
oh, when somebody sits in the driveway.
Yeah, like, in a movie, I think you'd say, ooh, that's her Oscar clip, right? But if it's, like, good radio, people would go, you know, like, the boss, if you did something great, the boss would be like, that was a driveway show. Mm. That was a driveway moment where people like, I've gotten home from work, but I got to sit in the car for a minute and listen to this. It's so good. We need a new name for that.
Be like something like staying on the treadmill, you know, when your time is up to keep listening.
Yeah, something or missing your stop or like something.
Right, yeah.
Getting off a stop early and walking. It doesn't have the same kind of flow as a driveway moment
or
Oscar clip. But we need a new name for that to respond and be more thoughtful about our digital world. So 12 listeners, up to you. Help us name this.
Walk in front of a bus moment.
Kitty by a car moment. Yeah. Oh, I almost got killed just the other night.
I was so... Oh, I thought you were...
No, a dude, for real, a dude ran a red light and I was like inches from his bumper.
I've had that. It's horrible.
And do you know what he did? He ran the red light. I had the walk symbol, right?
Yeah, right.
And so I believed he was going to be stopping and I took off walking because he was still pretty far away. He yelled dumb whore out the window.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Because that seems like a reasonable response to that.
Yes, exactly.
You dumb whore for walking in the crosswalk when you're supposed to. Yeah. I don't think people actually know what whore and slut mean anymore.
When will you ever learn?
When will you ever learn, you dumb woman?
And
That's an example. What I just said, that could be taken out of context and be like, see, she hates women.
She's a women hater.
She says whore and slut.
I had that happen once, and I actually punched the dude's car.
Yes.
Which is really dumb in retrospect. I mean,
that's awesome.
It's not a smart thing to do.
Why not? He almost killed you.
Yeah. But I was kind of like, ow.
I was wearing Doc Martens. I should have kicked the bumper.
It's like, that hurt my hand, man. So I avoided getting run
your
over.
Your headlight hurt my
and
hand.
And I hurt my hand. So I'm like, yeah, take that, buddy.
In your face. Yeah. I'm walking away with my broken hand.
I really showed you a thing or two.
Yeah. So he said, our exchange, he was like, you dumb whore. And I was like, fuck you. And that was it. And I
nice.
Slinked away.
Merry Christmas.
I love you.
The big city.
Oh, city life.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so we're going to get to work on that supercut of swearing because
that's
going to be fun.
That's going to rock.
We got
just in time for the holidays.
Maybe we can make a track with jingle bells under it.
Exactly.
And a little bit. We need some oboe because we need both a jingle bell portion and an oboe portion because like in klezmer music, so it speaks to both of our people.
I got you.
See what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Maybe like the bridge can have some klezmer oboe in it. And be like, goof time. It's just a cut of me saying, my people, my people, my people, my people.
Nazis, Nazis, Nazis.
Okay, if this isn't the episode that gets us fired, I don't know what is. Okay, we're going to go edit some audio. Year and a half of audio is what we're going to go edit. That's what we're going to do. We're going to come up with that. That's going to be fun. Should take us no time because we only like once a blue moon swear.
Yeah, right. We're going to find that, like, for an hour show, it's approximately 20 minutes of swearing per show.
Oh, we should also make an infographic of how many times we've dropped the F-bomb in this show.
Oh, that'd be cool, too. Again, it's all going to just up our Q rating. I mean, we're just going to be
these
here.
Are useful tools that people need from us.
Yeah,
it's a public service. We got into journalism to serve people with the truth. And the truth is we have dropped 8,744 F-bombs in this program, and the public has the right to know.
And we have made America better with, with our profanity.
We need to underscore this moment with like an eagle squawking and some really patriotic music.
Like flag waving, flag flapping.
Yes. This has been Guth and Hupke on Politics. We'll see you next time.